Just a little bit different presentation of the Ten Commandments. And then Tracy leaned over and said, that was a short primary lesson. That's not what she said, but one verse from chapter Exodus and from the song. Do not seek with bitter longing what you see across the street. You shall not covet. A whole bunch of things. All right, let's do a quick review of all Ten Commandments using, come on up, Lee, using the finger sorts of things. Commandment number one, one finger. Everybody hold up one finger. That represents one God. You shall have no other gods. Two fingers. V, looks like a V. You shall not take your in vain. Three, here at Salem on most Sunday mornings, we have worship, we have fellowship, we have education. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Four, father, mother, sister, brother, honor your father and your mother. Five, this one gets kind of tricky. You roll those lower three fingers in and you have a gun. You shall not kill. Six, sounds like the word sex. You shall not commit adultery. Seven, for those of us that are over 30, remember 7-Eleven stores. You don't steal. So number seven, you shall not steal. Eight gets kind of tricky too. You got to go four fingers, and it looks like a bear claw. You shall not bear false witness. All right, don't, come on. This is, it helps you remember, right? I get these groans. And what is bearing false witness? Lie. We're not supposed to lie because God doesn't like it. Number nine, and I'm not going to do this, but there's like nine rooms in the average house. So you got a nine-room house. Therefore, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. Ten, this is the one I also get troubled too. For those of us who remember the movie Ten, Bo Derek, she was pretty. Ten, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant, maidservant, his cattle. I mean, I really don't want to covet my neighbor's cattle anyway, so I'm not worried about that piece. But so number 10, you shall not covet. Lee, you got it? We're going to switch over. All right. This way I'll be able to move around. So if we did a quiz today, you would remember all 10 commandments. If I went like five, you would say, you shall not kill. If I said, switch the power. No. Anyway, all right. So we've been looking at the 10 commandments these last 3 weeks. The first set of commandments, 1, 2, and 3, deal with our relationship with God. It's that vertical relationship. And then the rest deal with our relationships with one another. It has that horizontal sort of thing. And it's kind of cool if you put together the vertical and the horizontal, you get a cross, which I'm not sure if that's what God intended when he gave those tablets to Moses, but it's there. About a week and a half ago, when I was thinking about this particular lesson, it was kind of neat. One verse from Exodus chapter 20, and I'm looking at Gloria. We Lutherans and some other Protestants and the Catholic Church divide that one verse into two commandments, 9 and 10, where other Christian denominations make that one commandment their number 10 commandment. But anyway, that's just semantics on numbers. I was thinking about the you shall not covet commandment. And it dawned on me, and I was checking this out with Tracy, 9 and 10 really don't deal with our neighbor. You shall not covet. It deals with me and with you. Think about it. It's the coveting part doesn't affect my neighbor until I do something about the coveting. For example, I may really, really, really want that new car my neighbor bought. I may picture myself behind the wheel. I might sit down and figure, do I have enough money for a down payment and the monthly payment? No, I don't. But I'm still thinking about that car in my possession. But as long as I'm just thinking about it, it's not affecting my neighbor. It has to do with me and what I want. Now, I could do something to get my neighbor's car. I could steal it, which is wrong. Which commandment? 7. Or I could lie to the police about it and say, it's my car. That would be number 8. Or I could kill my neighbor and just take my car, and that would be commandment number 5. And those are all things you don't want to do, right? Because that's breaking other commandments. But as long as I stay in that coveting mode, it stays within me. It's about what I want. Coveting or wanting something that isn't mine is wrong, though. And God says it is a sin to covet, to want. 9 and 10 are a sin, but it's primarily our sin with ourselves. Two words that come to mind. The first word is the word greed. There's a tendency for greed to cause trouble in each one of us. Greed. I want this, I need this, I gotta have those. Greed gets us thinking about what we don't have rather than letting us focus on what we do have. Greed is thinking I don't have enough, that I need, put some quotes around that, or covet what somebody else might have to a point where it's too much. It's greed. There's a Bible verse in 1 Timothy which reads, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now, it does not say money is evil. Money is wrong. It doesn't say that, but rather it says it's the love of money. And this love for more money that is at the root of evil. It is coveting, wanting more. I graduated from high school in 1974. And at that point, as a graduating senior, I wanted to use my graduation money to buy something really cool. You know, I'm sure my folks were thinking, well, put that money in the bank, save it. You're going to college, but no, I wanted to buy something. I wanted to buy a Seiko quartz watch, really fancy, and I saw the ads, and I thought, oh, man, I got to have this watch. The watch cost about $250, which, you know, you think 1974, that was a lot of money back then. I received $250 in graduation money, so guess what I bought? I bought a Seiko quartz watch. It was really cool. I wore it for a while, but then it dawned on me it was just a watch, an expensive watch. And I think after about a year, I stopped wearing it altogether. One of the bigger financial bad decisions I have ever made. I'm looking at Scott Falsing. Scott, I should have sat down with you at that point. But greed, wanting something more. The other word I want to talk about is the word trust. Trust one aspect of coveting is that there's a tendency to not trust God enough to provide for everything that we need. God promises to give us what we need each day: food, clothing, housing. We have to work. We may not get everything we want, but God promises to give us what we need and a little bit more. When we covet, we do not trust God to provide for us. Never everything that we want, but God will provide what we need. Trust God. Now, I've experienced this one a few times in my life, and especially in my married life, our married life with Tracy. This might sound strange, and she doesn't know I'm saying this, so I'm going to be in trouble after worship, but that's okay. This might sound strange coming from me, your pastor, but Tracy is the one in our family who has the deeper faith. Tracy trusts God, that God will provide. I tend to be a little bit more cautious, maybe not so much about money, but I am more cautious about trusting God to provide. It was Tracy early in our marriage when she was going to college and we had a home mortgage up in Cook, and Tracy said, "Let's tithe." A number of years ago, it was Tracy that was looking online, I think it was St. Scholastica website, looking at whatever you look at your alma mater. And she was talking to one of her good friends, and then she comes upstairs and says, "I'm going on a mission trip to Africa for 3 weeks. She told me the price tag. My first thought was, we can't afford this trip. Or her, but somehow, with the tax refund that I was not expecting, it just blew me away that year, and was saving some money here and there, there was more than enough money for her to be a part of a four-week mission trip to Tanzania. She trusted God. God provided. Do not covet what your neighbor has. Coveting and greed go hand in hand, and they're not a good combination. Trust God to provide.